We've been slamming a lot of James too much.
It's becoming a favorite pastime these last few weeks.
We've got to hold back on it because it's been too much.
It's not good. It's not a sustainable practice. You can't slam too much James or you'll just die.
Yeah. And for those of you wondering, like Mario, for example, looking at me.
Looking at him baffled.
Yeah.
I just want to know if James is a person.
No.
It could have in it.
Okay.
Well.
It could.
I'm not sure what the origin of the Slim Jim is.
Yeah.
Or why it is named a Slim Jim. But that is what we are referring to when we are slamming the James.
Yeah.
Slam into a Slim Jim. Slam that James.
Yeah. You snap into a Slim Jim or you slam James.
It's dumb as hell.
Yeah, it is.
Just very dumb. Yeah, it is. Tony and I will often go around driving and like talking about writing stuff. And then we typically will just like stop for something. And then like, you know, a nice cheap snack, something to wet the whistle. We'll go to the sheets. Tony will grab a 2-pack of Slim Jims. And then we'll get fountain sodas because they're cheap. It's economical. However, it is just poison.
Yeah, we're getting like a trough, like a way too much soda. Yeah. And then
a mop bucket full of soda.
and then... So the description of the Slim Jim on the wrapper is a very peculiar thing.
Yeah.
Because it used to be flavored meat snack.
Yes.
Now
it is a smoked snack stick. You'll notice meat doesn't appear anywhere on the packaging anymore.
I wonder why they dropped the word meat from the Slim Jim.
And what they could possibly define as being made of snack.
The snack stick. It's just a grease stick. It's so horrible.
I crave it. It'd be hard to describe. I guess it's technically a sausage.
Yeah.
It's a sausage in the sense that, like, a lot of the things that go into sausages are probably in it. But it's like if you had to, like, take, like, okay, sausages come from you. You pack some intestines full of, like, the cut-off meats that you don't use anywhere else and blood and viscera and whatnot, depending on the sausage. And then it's like, well, what if there were parts of the sausage that were garbage, too? Yeah. What if we sausaged them?
It's... Fuck, that's bad, man.
It's like a second generation sausage.
That was just, It's like the most cursed version of that Futurama bit.
Yeah.
Like everything's recycled. Like that sandwich you're eating is made from old recycled sandwiches. God, the Slim Jim is just recycled sausage.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
There could be no like.
We have to look into this. We have to see.
No, what's the worst is because it's recycled sausage plus filler. Yeah. Has to be.
And hey.
It's too costly just to use cut off bits of sausage.
Let me ask you, what do you think the filler is? I'll tell you what the filler is. It's the Slim Jims that people didn't finish. They just grind it up back into the supply.
Just like candy corn.
Worse than
just like candy corn.
They wash it. They wash it. I don't think they wash any of it.
I was actually thinking of a horrible thing that's real.
Oh, no.
You know, the Chinese gutter oil?
Oh, the Chinese gutter oil.
No.
A lot of the videos will have you believe that it's poo oil that they're using. It's not poo oil, but it might as well be.
Not much better.
It's still poison.
It's just not literally human waste.
Yeah. Man, my...
It is figuratively human waste, however.
Yeah, my sister's now fiance said he used to live in China for a little bit, and he was like, "Yeah, the food is delicious." He's like, "But you know, sometimes when you go out, like after you just get violently ill, yeah. It's just like he's like, but that's the risk you take."
Oh man!
You know what's bad? If it is delicious, like if it is like wow, super good
Chinese food, then is.
I have no doubt that I'd be able to compartmentalize it in my brain as being like, yeah, you got sick. Of course you did. You probably will get sick from this again.
You didn't have the local parasite. That's on you.
Yeah.
Skill difference.
It's absolute skill issue. Speaking of skill issues, we're talking about Dungeons & Dragons.
And with that, welcome back to Scryer's Room. I am your host, Fanfare.
I'm the greatest of all transitionaries. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Marco.
And today we're going to be talking about Vecna.
Yes.
Yes.
We will connect any two subjects.
So, not really talking about, like, the game per se, but Vecna the character is... almost like, I don't want to say like the face, but one of the faces of
he's one of the representative characters of the game. It's him, Tiamat, the concept of the Beholder.
He's up there with like he's a D&D icon.
Yeah.
And he's also like, I enjoy Vecna because to me, Vecna is what the player's goal should be. You don't have to be evil.
Right.
But the idea of I'm going to adventure until I am just one of the gods. I have entered the pantheon. That is like once you get level 20, then you keep going to epic levels, and then you just the natural progression of that, if you do progress further, is godhood.
Yeah.
That is how like what D&D is about. Like at least the older editions were. And Vecna is one of the examples of that. Like it's almost like this like pedestal to like attain as a player. It's like if I'm a bad enough dude, I guess you have to be one of the gods.
So Vecna is just, I don't know if they knew what they had made, you know?
I don't think they did.
Yeah, because like originally he's just supposed to be like an homage to my boy Jack Vance, American author.
I only learned, they just told me the other day that it's supposed to be
not. I was upset. I only just learned that pretty recently, and then like I hit Kevin up because it was late at night and Kevin's awake.
Always.
And then I was just like, ah, Kevin, did you know this thing? And he was like, oh yeah, I knew that. And I was just like, you knew, but I didn't? Like, damn it!
Yeah.
But
I got all kinds of fun facts.
Yeah, so if anyone doesn't know Jack Vance, I've talked my rambling episodes on the Dying Earth series. In that, he created a system of magic that is now usually called Vancian magic, or people might more casually call it Fire and Forget magic.
Yeah.
And it's basically the D&D system.
Yeah.
And so Gary Gygax basically took that and created the spell slot system, which D&D has used pretty much forever, every edition. To honor Jack Vance as being like such a huge part of, you know, the setting and the game itself, he created Vecna, which Vecna is an anagram of Vance.
Yeah. V-A-N-C-E. V-E-C-N-A.
Once you know, it's like it's so obvious once you know.
Yeah, then, once like, you see it, it's fucking right there.
So really cool. And then Vecna exploded in popularity because he is like, and I think this is mostly why too, he just registers as like the penultimate like fantasy villain.
He was the first necromancer that became the archetype necromancer villain that we have because like even in like earlier things where necromancers were mentioned, they were like more of a Rasputin type, where they're like, he's a dick-ass man.
Yeah, it's literally like Dr. Orpheus and Venture Bros, where it's just a title. It's more of a moniker than like an actual like specific thing we're talking about. Vecna like basically coined the modern interpretation of necromancy.
Yeah.
There's it predates that obviously. There are like actual fantasy novels where you can like point to like this is the first time they're referring to it as a necromancer, but to me Vecna really like solidified it.
Yeah, and that's what I mean by like penultimate. They made him. He took off, and then like he just like stayed in that slot. He is like the like tabletop Skeletor before there was Skeletor.
Yeah,
like, he is just like, you know what I mean. Like
those of you who watch Adventure Time, he's the Lich. He's the one thing below like the ultimate god of evil.
That is a good way to put it. Vecna is the Lich.
Yes.
He's probably not the first Lich. There's many other Liches, but he is the Lich.
Yeah. He wasn't the first one to do it, but he was the most impressive.
So if anyone doesn't know, Vecna is an evil spellcaster from Dungeons & Dragons, and then he turned himself into a Lich, became extremely powerful, and then eventually achieved true godhood, and has just been like a staple of the game and the setting thereafter.
Yeah.
And he's gotten up to much fuckery in his career as being a supervillain of the highest order. And he's just a really good all-around character, I think. You guys know anything about his lore, his backstory?
I know very little.
The only things that I know about Vecna come from... So the reason we're bringing this up partially is because Stranger Things is coming out and they use the name Vecna to refer to their villain.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that maybe, but
I'll link it in just because it's relevant. Stranger Things, however you feel about it, has gotten D&D a lot of attention.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you think that's good or bad. But so I just wanted to like tie it in to show that like, they seem to know what they're doing. Like, they have styled their villain after him, but he's wildly different from
the D&D. Like, the only things about Vecna as a character I know is, like, his iconography, which is reflected a little bit in the character, and then, like, the magical items that came from his body.
So, if you don't really know much about Vecna, you probably at least know that. If you play D&D or something, his two, you know, legendary artifacts.
Yeah.
The left hand and eye of Vecna.
Yeah.
Which is, like...
How do they work, by the way? Is it just uses a wand?
No, you cut off yours and put it on.
You swap that shit.
Yep.
You gotta commit.
What if you're like a little guy? He's like a human, right?
Yeah, it like... My understanding is it resizes.
Magic item resizes.
It's an artifact. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I get, like... Why the eye you need to do that. I didn't think the hand was also like that. I in my head, I actually was kind of like thinking it'd be a fun monkey's paw type thing.
Because you like swing it around at people?
Yeah.
You could like intimidate someone by slapping them with it.
So it kind of still works like a monkey's paw.
oh no.
They're evil items. Like, you know. Depending on what edition you're playing, they do different things. But usually there's like stipulations attached to it that like if a good character or neutral character tries to like use these, like put them on. And I think good characters is just like fucking hurts you. Yeah. Neutral to maybe, but either way, it'll like compel you to do evil.
To so be more villainous.
So you'll have the Evil Dead hand, basically. trying to fucking like make you do evil things, and you have to make in 3.5 you at least you had to make like a will save to not commit the evil act. And eventually like if you lost to it enough, you become evil. Because the alignment shifted and
everything. My goodness.
Yeah. Very, very famous things. And that is Vecna's first mention in all of D&D.
Oh, so he's like introduced as like an item?
Yes. Which, if anyone remembers my... if you've listened to the Elder Scrolls series I went over, this is very similar to the first Elder Scrolls where... Much of the lore was established via item descriptions, and it was very vague and just sort of mystical sounding. But then later on, they fleshed it out into something else. And then Vecna's basically like was like the prototype for that. He was first mentioned in it's called what's this? Eldritch. I can't read my own handwriting.
Tragic.
Yeah. But it was published in 1976. Basically, just gives.
Take a crack
Don't even try. But it was just a supplement, and it described the hand and eye as powerful artifacts, and then basically just described Vecna. It's bad, I know. Vecna as a just a destroyed lich,
right?
Like he just a guy.
We got the rest of them. This is all that's left.
And then these are the artifacts left behind. And then later on, he became properly like a fleshed out character. And that's the Vecna we know.
Missing a hand and eye.
And yeah, so he gets introduced in... there's a lot of like 2E campaigns. But the most famous of which, and like it's apparently... I've never played it myself, but it's apparently a very beloved campaign module called Die, Vecna, Die.
Yeah.
And that one is like... extremely important to all of D&D because it's that campaign is the literal explanation for why the shift to the third edition happened.
Really?
Because 1 to 2 is Time of Troubles, right? And then 3 to 4.
I believe so.
And then
yes.
2 to 3 is what Vecna did.
Yeah.
Because every edition is like there's a narrative reason behind why the edition is shifting. It's not just like I'm in a new edition. They literally have like an in-game explanation behind the magic literally works different now. Yeah. There was a reality-changing event.
The universe has been altered.
I straight up assumed they just, like, every time a new one came out, they're like, just deal with it.
Yeah.
Like, I that's because I probably have more experience dealing with Hasbro Wizards of the Coast behavior, where it is, they very much will just be like, and now, fuck it, Rick Grimes is in Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
He's stronger than a grizzly bear.
Fair enough, man. You are not wrong to believe these things.
Yeah.
But no, it's an actual, like, given reason is Vecna got up to so much fuckery. I'll explain it a little bit, like, later on. But yeah. That in a desperate attempt, the Lady of Pain, who's a whole thing of her own, she's basically like a super god, but not really. Mm. She's just like a fundamental part of reality. But she had to, like, desperately try to repair the multiverse from all the shit he did. And as a result, third edition / 3.5.
Hmm.
And then, like, he was stopped. In fact, he's still around. It was just like, drats!
Foiled again!
Yeah, foiled.
He just Skeletored away.
You know? I'll be back in another campaign supplement when they need to republish Die, Vecna, Die! Ah.
Yeah, there you
pretty
go.
Pretty much. It's, yeah. But as a character, though, he does have, like, a whole origin. It's actually pretty cool. He first showed up in the Greyhawk setting, which that's where like Curse of Strahd and stuff.
Yeah, if you're not familiar, the titular D&D setting that we're familiar with is Forgotten Realms, but there are several other D&D settings. There's Dragonlance. There's what did you say? The Raven?
Greyhawk.
Dragonlance.
Dragonlance has like a whole lot of books that people really, really
Forgotten
love.
Realms, Eberron. There's a few others.
Yeah, and then there's, like, the, like, forgotten ones, you know? From the before times.
There used to be a lot. A lot of them just fell off.
The ones that only existed in magazine articles.
It's literally Dragon Magazine and shit.
No, they had, like, whole stuff for them, but it was just, like, a lot of them, were considered controversial for various reasons. It's like Dark Sun, for example.
Oh, yeah, Dark Sun.
Dark Sun is, like, the ultra-brutal, like, campaign setting.
Yeah.
The gnomes fucked up real hard in Dark Sun.
It's basically like the grimdark setting for D&D.
And it's full Onga Bunga mode.
In my head, Dark Sun is the Mad Max D&D setting.
Pretty much.
Not Mad Max as in, oh, so they have cars and stuff. Mad Max as in, what if the Mad Max no water apocalypse happens, and also it's Dungeons and Dragons.
Pretty much. And someone pitched to me that, like, literal Ming the Merciless from Flash Gordon is one of the enemies in Dark Sun in the second edition. Yeah. That's hilarious.
There's like...
Sure, that might as well happen.
It's also... I'm sure many people aren't familiar with Thundar the Barbarian. It's that setting. It's like there's wizard kings that control pockets of like these little city empires, you know?
Yeah.
So Sorcerer Kings of Dark Sun.
Yeah.
It's just straight up the... it's my Lochnar.
Heavy metal.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Heavy Metal, you got to watch that too.
Great movie. But Vecna, so introduced in Greyhawk as just a tyke, a boy,
just a lad,
and born to.
One day I'm gonna do great things.
Thundercrash. No idea.
So he was born to his mother, whose name was Maisel or Massel. I'm not exactly sure you're supposed to pronounce it.
Maisel's a really good name. I actually really like that name.
Maisel. Yeah. It's like Hazel, but for like the mother. But mother.
Yeah.
Mother Hazel. Maisel.
And this is on the world of Earth? Earth?
Earth with a U? Or
O-E-R-T-H?
Earth.
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 Earth. Earth. Earth. Earth. Just do a French accent. Earth.
Earth.
In the city of Fleeth.
Fleeth.
To the Flan people.
Fly.
A lot of interesting noises going on here.
Fly.
And this is apparently
don't
like,
try too hard.
I'm not too familiar with the history of the Greyhawk setting, but this is way back in old times, I guess. In the ancient days, was my reading of when this was happening. They were part of the Untouchable cast.
Oh, they're pariahs?
Long time ago.
Not exactly sure. Like
in a universe far away.
What it entails to be an untouchable, but it was mainly because his mom was like an evil witch.
Well, that'll fucking do it.
I was gonna do like a whole Anakin Skywalker thing where he gets turned to evil and his poor mom dies, but she was a slave too, and she's like, well, actually, Annie, we were enslaved because I turned a bunch of people into philosopher's stones. It was
so apparently,
God bless.
She is like a necessary part of their society. Like they reject like necromancy and dark arts and shit, but they need people to do like funeral rites and stuff with that shit, and so they keep people like her around, I guess. But
this is very much we get mad at Apple for using child labor.
I guess. And then she
still have the phones,
but she is evil. That is the lore makes no doesn't
don't feel too bad
doesn't muddy the waters on that at all. And then she teaches young Vecna to be evil.
Oh, you don't say.
You'll have to partake in the family business.
She gives him the drive of, you know, like power is the only power and knowledge are the only things that are like worth anything in this world. They apparently did have like a good relationship, I guess.
Oh, wholesome mom is teaching his son, her son how to
will go for power. Yeah. Just like you always wanted me to.
Oh, my little boy did his first firebolt. He's only 6 years old.
No, yeah, like she's. I mean, they probably have like, you know, the like lovely music playing, and she's showing him how to like sacrifice small animals.
Yeah, kill that squirrel and resurrect it.
There's a couple of variations. So that's the thing about Vecna is so he becomes the god of secrets, secret knowledge.
Oh.
So there's multiple versions of his background, a sort of a Gazgul situation of. There's many of these tales.
He echoes across realities.
They all have points where they agree on, but then there's from there it's they're different versions.
Right.
And I think that's super appropriate because fuck you, only I know Vecna.
Yeah.
It's my secret.
Yeah. He's literally the god of secret knowledge at this point. He would have secrets.
So what's the true version? Who can say? But
you want to know how I lost this hand?
Yeah, well, that one we for sure know how that
happened. That's funny.
But his mother did something or was framed for something by nobility and burned at the stake.
Do we know what?
So either the like wizards of the society like found out she was doing like extra evil stuff that wasn't, you know, like sanctified by law.
Right.
Charged her with that, or a noble woman needed like a tonic or something for like infidelity, she needed a morning after pill.
Yeah.
But then like the queen didn't follow her instructions and gave her like too much of it, and she just fucking died. This was a princess that was taking the thing, and so this princess apparently died, and then she got blamed for it. The mom did.
You're responsible for killing the princess. And she's like, that princess had it coming, and she's not even from this country. And they're like, no, our princess. What? The one I gave birth control? You gave her birth control?
So, however it went down, she was either burned at the stake or exiled to like someplace where she was going to die.
Banished.
But the burned at the stake version, apparently Vecna was there to see that.
Mm. Trauma.
And then... Also, in some versions, he is then taken by those wizards as like a, I guess, a ward or like indentured.
Oh, they felt bad for him.
No, indentured like servant.
Oh,
he is still an indentured.
They gotta teach the evil out of him. You know?
Yeah, and re-education
and also clean up that mess back there.
Because, oh man,
you ever burned a lady alive?
It's pretty dirty.
Yeah, it's gross.
And,
I'm not cleaning it up.
Oh, you gotta scoop up your own mom. That's brutal.
I hope she taught you, what is it, thaumaturgy lets you clean, or...
Prestidigitation.
I hope she taught you prestidigitation.
Handy cantrip.
So, she gets burned at the stake version, she has, like, dying words that are basically just like, oh, I seek power! Like, as she's dying. So, like,
yeah, hell yeah! Like,
don't you learn any lessons from this about respecting law and order, Vecna?
No,
isn't what you should learn!
To the fucking last.
Pretty much, like, always seek power. Never, like, always have vengeance in your heart. Like, never let this go.
What a G. That's so...
And...
don't you want to tell
so
him that
cartoonish.
You... Don't you want to tell him that you love him? I do love him. He knows. That's why I say you should hate. You should have more hate. Angrier.
And his mom apparently worships some sort of entity called... Moxlick, who might be a god, maybe not, some kind of weird outer being thing, also known as the serpent, and is largely understood to be like an aspect of magic if it is a god.
Right.
She apparently worshipped that thing and taught Vecna about it, and also apparently part of that worship is that like when you die, it like eats your soul, and... But that's, like, cool. That's the goal, I guess.
Yaugdabaoth style? Yaugdabaoth,
whatever it's called. And so as she's burning at the stake, she gives the whole, like, oh, I seek power! Kill them all! And then she's just like... And then gets devoured by the snake.
It's fucking metal, dude.
Yeah. And then Vecna...
they turned Vecna's a little just Vecna.
Like, that's my mom. Like, they turned fuck a, yeah, mom.
They turned a little God Vecna, like, bless. See what happens if you don't turn your back on these darkness, this dark way. And he's like, she always wanted to be eaten by that snake, and I'm going to get eaten by that snake, too. Fuck
yeah,
you.
I guess a proud tear yeah. falls down his eye.
I like to imagine that there's just like, did you see, did you learn your lesson? He's like, yes, I did.
Yeah!
Yeah, good.
Oh, I learned all right.
He's like, yeah, it is good, isn't it?
Ah, that's really funny.
So yeah, in the version where he gets taken by the wizards, he's like basically given like low menial tasks to do. And eventually, but he gets to do like scribe work. But Vecna, he's not satisfied with that shit. And so he basically just starts teaching himself.
Yeah.
Because he just starts sneaking into their... He starts reading their magic books.
Like, he starts doing the Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yeah. Did, so he either taught himself completely, or there's many versions that claim he had a patron of some sort.
Right.
Maybe the serpent.
Right.
Muxlick. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. There's also people...
I'm a friend of your mom's.
Yeah, I guess. Some people think that the serpent could be either... Vecna just being insane, or like some kind of manifestation he created.
There's a snake in my brain and he tells me to study magic.
You know?
Well, the one thing we're not going to let this little boy do is read our magic books. We will leave him alone with them because I don't want to clean up.
No, because then
but we're not going to teach him.
Because it's Vecna, then the most annoying part is just like, Vecna, is the snake real? And he's like, it's a secret.
Oh my god.
KG. You're our most annoying slave child, you know that?
He either taught himself, there's versions where he like lived as like a thief, like a mongrel. Like
he just Googled around for a little while.
Yeah. However it happened, he learned magic and he learned it better than those fuckers, and then he killed them all.
Yeah. Classic.
Great job.
Because go fuck yourself.
Came back for vengeance.
My mama taught me right. I'll be the best damn evil wizard there's ever going to be.
I'm going to make her proud.
Yeah. I'm going to make her proud on her stake.
Instead of doing vengeance. Like the... like
so horrible.
The thing where you like look up at the sky like, I'm going to do you proud. He's looking down at the ground because she's evil. And he's like, I'm going to do you proud. So, evil mom.
From there, you know, he did the evil wizard thing. He just started like building up of like an army and then like... like, consolidating, you know, like, territory, shit like that, and everything. And it was going great. Like, couldn't really stop him.
He's really good at being a wizard.
Yeah, and necromancy, too. So, and
free army.
He was a real dick about it, too. No. even before, he would just went, like, full on, like, I kill everyone. People would, like, if you heard someone had talked shit about him, like, then, like, oh, the next day, they found him dead. And then after that, his corpse was walking around telling people not to be assholes to Vecna.
Oh, man. Double dirty.
Apparently he was doing shit like that even before he just went, like, full, you know, wizard king. But that was going great, everything. But there was this problem. He's getting old.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you're a human, that's a real pesky problem in D&D.
And Vecna, he wasn't going to put up with that shit.
Obviously.
So... what does he do? Of course, he's heard about these guys who have achieved immortality before. So he starts researching various forms of immortality and then comes across, you know, lichdom.
Yeah.
Obviously.
He's obviously not going to do, like, the Enlightenment immortality or turn into a tree.
Yeah, but it's not exactly public knowledge how to do that. Especially because, you know, wizards are dicks.
And... you can't just go to your wizard school teacher that likes you like Voldemort did.
No, but even if you found another lich, do you think he's just going to give you that
shit?
They
don't share. No. Yeah.
So Vecna just starts doing experiments, which apparently involve just rounding up wizards or spellcasters and forcing them to do, like, proto-lichdom experiments.
Now drink this potion.
Yeah, but I don't want to.
Drink it.
And using the scientific method, basically, like, through trial and error, like, by killing other people, he figured out how to do it. And then once he perfected the method, he was just like, all right, my turn.
Imagine being the guy he perfected it on and being like, oh.
You made it, and then he still hits you with lightning?
Yeah.
Well, he's still, like, a master necromancer, too. Like, so even if he popped off, like, perfect lists, and he's just like, nice. dominate undead.
Yeah, dominate undead, dude. Brutal.
Yeah, so... it worked. He turned himself into a lich. Boom.
I'm really smiling, thinking about like the like trial and error. He's like, so far I've been able to make a foot and shin lich. He can't do much, but he is a foot and shin, and he should survive for untold eternity, so long as his foot phylactery makes it.
So yeah, had to go through a lot of semi liches before he got to the proper
name. Yes.
But so that worked out perfectly. Although an interesting bit. Because I was watching stuff to refresh my memory, that someone brought up was that there's a weird detail that I never noticed that he pointed out, was that there's not really, or if any, mention of Vecna's phylactery.
Oh,
that is a good point.
Yeah, wow.
Which is
it a secret?
Yes.
For those of you who
don't. Yes, it is, Tony.
There you go.
Those of you who don't know all the D&D lich stuff, to become a lich, you make a phylactery, you put your soul in it, and then technically you're, like, puppeting your lich body.
You've animated your own corpse, basically, with, like, your necromantic powers. And now while your soul is chilling, like, safe.
Yeah.
Like, somewhere else. That's the whole idea of a phylactery.
And that's why when a lich dies, its body will rematerialize, and then they can just fucking start over.
Yeah. The most, pop culture example would be it's a Horcrux.
Yeah.
Okay. A phylactery, you put your whole soul in there.
Right.
And then it just anchors you to reality, to life.
Yeah.
So that your soul doesn't pass on.
I think a phylactery is also probably a little bit better than a Horcrux because Voldemort seemed to need a lot of assistance in coming back to life.
It's a Horcrux that gives you an auto revive.
Yeah.
There you go. but strangely enough, we don't really hear that about Vecna's if he has one or not. Although there's also apparently
he should / must, but
there's like a rule. Secrets. I think it's from New 5e or 5e, one of the other, where instead of noting he has a phylactery, it's basically just that, like, if Vecna's destroyed, he refuses that he's dead, and then he reforms in 1D, like, 100 years or something.
Huh.
That's a pretty good move.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. Oh, okay.
So, if he has a phylactery, I don't know. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Or he has somehow made reality his fucking phylactery or something. I don't know. But, either way, he has now achieved immortality, functional immortality. He was set. He was just like, sweet, I got all the time in the world now. And yeah, they just started doing that. He was spent his now extra time just consolidating more power, researching more, becoming a better wizard, and was, as far as I understand how it went, he was just sweeping at his own pace, like with no problem.
Just all the stocks memes going up at Vecna stuff.
Yeah, and one of his big things,
1 Vecnillion%,
is that like he's not like cartoon evil. He's like cold, methodical evil.
Right.
So he's just detached and like he's all about like efficiency. Yeah. Efficiency and shit. Like,
Mommy taught him well.
Yeah. And so a big part of his success was he was trying to find like a really good servant. Mm. Like one who's like not a fucking idiot, but is also not a mindless undead, you know? He needed someone who was like the perfect balance of like controllable and ambitious. And he got that in the form of a mortal who I believe was a former commander of some army, Cass.
Right.
Who he was impressed enough by that he turned him into a vampire and was then made him his general. And then Cass was apparently really good at it. He turned his armies into like proper like militaries. And then Cass himself was also just really fucking strong because he was like, I'm pretty sure he's at least a vampire in one edition, but he had like a Death Knight kind of vibe to him.
Oh, hell yeah.
So he was just like a undead brutal warrior type dude who was also taught some stuff by Vecna, which so extra brutal undead warrior, man. And Vecna made him a fucking dope, like one of the best swords in the entire like universe of D&D. It's a major artifact called the Sword of Cass, and it's just like an insanely powerful longsword. that is also a sentient magic item. So it's just like an evil dope sword that like also whispers to you like, you know, evil sweet nothings, and I think it helped him too, like in combat or something like that.
Behind you.
But like it would like it's supposed to also like stoke your ambitions, that sort of thing.
Just gassing you up, like, yes, you will conquer them all.
Yeah.
It is your birthright.
It was a great combo. Apparently Cass knew what he was doing. He became called Cass the Bloody Handed, and he was so feared eventually that like the mere mention that Cass was coming with his armies people would just either flee or surrender immediately.
Right.
Because it was like Cass had the reputation of he's a brilliant military commander.
He will win.
And he's undefeatable, and their army is mostly undead. Like they never stop.
There's not really an answer for him.
Yeah, this is not normal warfare.
Like, yeah. A lot of advantages and stuff that they have with undead legions.
And so yeah, that was going great. Cass was Vecna's right-hand man. They were just sweeping. Vecna could basically just leave shit to them while he could just study and do all that.
A nice Emperor Invader vibe. But
you know how it goes, especially with that comparison. No. The rule of two, but Sith always betray one another. So Cass got a little too ambitious because he was really fucking strong too now.
Yeah,
and he just eventually betrayed Vecna. And they have had like a sick ass monster duel that I think it said it lasted like for days, and it was during that fight that Cass cut off Vecna's left hand.
Oh,
and
shit.
His eye.
Oh, shit.
And that's how he got maimed, was by the sword he made.
Oh.
And that's why it was so fucking...
He hit him with his own pen.
Yep.
I sort of assumed that Vecna, as he shed his body for godhood, left these things behind. Conceivably, you could have gone to, like... a forgotten tomb somewhere and found the foot of Vecna, which would give you way less powers.
I have something for that. But losing a hand is like devastating for a wizard.
Yeah, dude. Somatic components.
Yeah, you need that for the
you got your hand jobs.
Wiggly bits.
I have a little thing about that.
I mean, I'm sure he doesn't at some point.
Yeah.
But
probably has a feat to ignore or whatever.
Yeah, or he's just so good, like he can just
I-beam.
He just applies silent spell to all his spells or whatever.
But those of you who saw the D&D Honor Among Thieves movie, the wild magic sorcerer did a lot of finger hand jive for all of his spells because he was trying to do the components for it. And he wasn't told to do that. He was just sort of told to like just do something with your hand. And he like on an interview was like, yeah, I was doing that because it felt like more correct, but also I kind of wanted to see how the special effects guys would handle it. And then the interview cuts abruptly to the special effects guys just looking so pissed off. If you're not just holding your hand up empty, like you're trying to send out a wave of psychic energy, it's so hard for them to fucking just like, you know, the sparks dance between your fingers and stuff.
Good though. That's how it should be.
Frankly, it was very worth it.
It was very good. They did a really great job. Yeah, this guy gets it.
Yeah, I loved it.
Hard work, CGI people.
Yes.
So that was like a huge thing. This fight between Vecna and Cass, and then like it's a little obscure what happened after that.
Right.
With the stories, it was like, on that day, Vecna and Cass were destroyed, or just Vecna, just Cass, you know, whatever. I don't exactly know how that played out. Apparently, Cass lived to enough time to write about it, according to some stuff that I saw. But however that went down, that was a huge blow for Vecna, and then that was a first
loss.
Yeah, big L. Capital L.
From what I understand, from there, then you get like Vecna in the campaign shit, I think. because it's like I think the first campaign involving him is Vecna Lives.
Oh, that makes sense then, because like if the assumption is Vecna was killed by Cass,
yeah,
then Vecna Lives would be the revelation that
Vecna Lives.
Vecna Lives.
Yeah. Oh,
so I don't know if this is like the exact order or something. Like again, I haven't played these. I'm not like too familiar with. I just know like these are things I just read about. But yeah. with that theme of just like, oh, is he dead or is he not? Then it's Vecna lives, Vecna reborn. Then die, Vecna die. And that's like the how I understand the 2E order to go, because then because die, Vecna die, then resets the setting, yeah. You know.
Setting resets. By the time third edition rolls around, we get to do another version of Vecna lives and
yeah. So quick like rundown of how that whole thing works. The first edition, the shift to 2E, the explanation was Karsus, this super ancient wizard guy, tried to take the power of the goddess of magic, Mystara, I think her name is.
Yeah, at the time, yeah.
And that basically fucking killed her and destroyed the ancient empire of Netheril. And Karsus turned to stone and was like cursed for whatever. His spell worked. He became a god for a second, but he didn't know how to be a god, so it didn't
go well. Right, because he was born a god.
Plus, he just took the goddess of magic basically away from the weave, not realizing that the weave is an aspect of her. He just fucked it real hard.
He got rid of magic. Basically, like, magic stopped working. The rules of magic were unwritten, so anything magical just stopped working. So Netheril was famous for a bunch of floating cities that stopped being able to float. All of them died.
Oh.
Horrible. Yeah. No one could cast fly. No one could cast levitate. Those rules didn't work anymore. None of that shit worked anymore. And these are people who depended on everything in their lives depended on magic.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and he destroyed the concept of magic.
Which is, ironically, trying to save his empire.
Yeah, yeah. Super ironic.
It's known as Karsus's folly.
Yeah. Super ironic.
And I think that led into the Time of Troubles.
Right.
Because then, yeah. Because how that...
To my understanding.
That fixed, air quotes, fixed itself by Mystara managed to stabilize the weave enough so that it wouldn't just, like, shatter. And then managed to find a, like, young girl or girl, whatever, a woman, I don't remember her age, who had the potential to become, like, an archmage or something, and then infused her with her essence. And then she became Mystara, the first version of Mystara.
Yeah. Hmm. And that's why they're, yeah.
Sort of a reincarnation, almost.
Basically.
And I'm not sure exactly where that links up with the Time of Troubles, because the Time of Troubles hasn't, because these other dickhead gods try to take the tablets of order or some shit, and are stopped by the god of, or they kill the god of justice, I think, Helm, and then Ao is the over god as punishment, casts them all down as mortals.
Mm.
Like, they're still extremely powerful, but now they have like,
they can die.
They're, yeah. Like, there's no pantheon right now. Like, you're all in timeout. And that's the Time of Troubles. Gods are now walking the plains and are trying to regain their divinity.
Okay. Okay.
All the slots are up for grabs. Go for it.
That technically was... I didn't know about this until you described... You told us a little bit about this previously, and you pointed this out. The first D&D campaign that I ran, that was technically the plot. While you guys were adventuring and stuff, the big thing that was happening was all the gods have been cast down because, like, the universe is about to reset. And if you want to become a god for the new one, you have to, like, beat this mega dungeon that, like, is coming to reset the universe. And, like, all the old gods are pretty confident they can do it. They've done it before, apparently. But then the players showed up as well. So that was a whole fucking thing.
Yeah. Time Troubles is, like, really iconic. That's a supplement, or campaign, too.
Yeah.
You can play through it.
Damn, should have used that.
Yeah. And going back to what I was saying previously, the end result, which is, this is basically a capstone of the edition, the end goal of that edition was to take one of those seats.
Mm-hmm.
It would be in canon, at the end of that edition, your character is now one of the gods. Great job, you did it. You won D&D.
You done. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
And so, like, I don't know if that was the first or second version of Mystara, one of the two, but, like, whatever, either avatar or girl that got, like, infused or whatever, she won. She became Mystara again. That's why the weave has now become anew.
Yeah.
So, new edition. And then...
New rule set.
2E ends
Fire new books.
With Die Vecna Die, with Vecna is trying to invade Sigil, which should be called Sigil.
Right,
that's word. How you pronounce that word.
Yeah.
It's called Sigil because the dude forgot how to pronounce Sigil, So I call it Sigil. If anyone has a problem, I don't care. So
anyway. There was a MAGFest panel where this one, she was so adamant about it. Like, so yeah, it made me, I was like, Mario's going to hate this. Mario's going to be seething when I tell
it. It just sounds dumb, okay? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sigil, but calling it anyway, Sigil, yeah.
That's neither here nor there. Sigil is the city of doors. It sits on top of like the pillar that's on the Outlands, which like doesn't make sense because it's like technically infinite.
Huh.
And then Sigil itself seems to be infinite too. It's just like this weird, like donut, basically, like city, like that's it's like a almost a like torus, Halo, yeah. Sort of, and yeah, it's just like this giant city full of portals to everywhere, every plane, doesn't matter, like there's a portal somewhere in Sigil that goes there, and this city is ruled by the Lady of Pain. I mentioned her briefly before. Lady of Pain. No one's quite sure what the fuck she is. She rules Sigil, everyone knows.
She sounds
this.
Pretty cool. Pretty chill being the Lady of Pain.
She's just this like giant ass, like 13-foot-tall woman, or appears to be feminine at least. She wears like a mask and like this huge, like, you know, queen outfit.
I'm imagining she looks a lot like a human version of the xenomorphs from Alien, that queen. The alien queen?
Sorta.
Big old triceratops.
She just has like a bunch of blades and shit metal. Coming off of
her. Yeah.
And then, so no one knows what she is exactly, but she's as powerful or more powerful than a god, at least, because she has banned deities from Sigil.
Which you kind of need to be able to enforce by being stronger than them. Mm-hmm. So.
And deities can't break this rule, apparently. Like, she has stopped them. And there was a god of portals who tried to break this rule.
I should be allowed in there.
Yeah. By like, because the gods are allowed to have temples there. Like, she doesn't care about that.
Right.
You can worship gods here or whatever. Your gods just can't come here.
Yeah.
And so that he tried to come to Sigil, like, by, you know, abusing some, like, technicality.
Portal shenanigans, yeah.
And she just killed him.
Get fucked. Oh. Smitten.
And, like, it wasn't. It was just, like, she became aware of it and was just like, you're dead.
Hey, Mistra, yeah. Sounds like you got a new domain. And she's like, is it part of magic? It's portals. Oh, okay then. Mm-hmm. All
and,
right.
And then that his temple was left there as just like, that's a warning. You see what happens?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The Lady of Pain is cool.
Did you think that the Lady of Pain would just be chill about it?
Mm-hmm. And so it's also, you're given, the Lady of Pain does not accept worshippers. She does not accept God. She does not call herself a god. It doesn't really talk, really. And if you try to, or try to fight her, it's no. She just kind of looks at you and you fall. You fall apart. Like, your blood salsa. Like, you just.
Oh, man!
That's a pretty good move. It's a really good move.
Either that, or she puts you in a maze.
That's also a pretty good move. That's a more annoying move.
Her maze, as I understand it, is unique, and you can't get out of it.
That's not a maze, then, I don't think.
What if you're a Minotaur?
I might be wrong, but I think hers just has like an exception.
Because there's like a cosmic thing in D&D about Minotaurs being able to get out of any maze. It's one of my favorite little snippets about D&D Minotaurs.
All right, let me pitch.
If you cast a spell maze on a Minotaur, it won't work.
Let me pitch you a story concept idea. He's a wizard man who's trying to like understand like the rules of the Lady of Pain and the city of Sigil or wherever. And like he like starts off worshiping her and like he's denied by that, but she's not like she doesn't ice his ass. And he's like, well then what if I were to try to engage you in combat? And she glances at him and sends him to the Shadow Realm, the maze. And then he's like, this is exactly what I wanted. Because the only way to find the center of the maze, and he casts True Polymorph on himself to turn himself into a Minotaur. He's like, no one else has thought of this!
And he just starts going,
yeah.
I'd have to reread it, but I'm not exactly sure, but I think it has things where it's just like, if she does this, you're fucked. Unless she decides otherwise.
I'm assuming, yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
Because
I'm just being snarky.
It'd be fun, though.
Also, yeah. Importantly, it's sort of like a unspoken rule that you can't give the Lady of Pain stats. Like,
right.
It defeats the purpose.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of entities in D&D that you can't give stats, otherwise it defeats the purpose. And they are higher than you.
She is just one of those. It's just like, she's not... She just needs to be there, okay?
Yeah.
Like, don't fuck with it. And so, Die Vecna Die is all about Vecna basically trying to do the exact same thing that Portal Guy did, except he pulls it off.
Oh.
I forget exactly the shenanigans of what he does and how it works.
It's a secret.
But it's, I'm pretty positive it's through abusing that dead god's like portfolio and like the temple that was left. It's something to do with that, where it's just like he managed to find a real loophole in the rules that let him get into Sigil, which meant the Lady of Pain was wrong. And basically that caused like reality to start to collapse, because the Lady of Pain apparently, and Sigil by extension, is like an anchor / like fulcrum point of reality.
It's like a linchpin, yeah.
And so it's like when the Lady definitively like decided that gods cannot come here, that was like a law of like reality. And Vecna managed to break it.
Yeah, he hit her with like, guess what? Paradox time.
So reality started breaking.
Yeah, it just started fracturing, yeah.
And I couldn't tell you how the campaign plays out. Like, presumably the adventurers do the thing to kick Vecna out to stop him, and then in a desperate attempt, the Lady tries to repair the multiverse, and then you get third edition.
Huh.
Yep.
So Vecna is...
Vecna's a god at this point.
He'd been a god for a while at that point. Okay. But, which, how he ascended, I'm not exactly clear. It's one of those, just like, he just did it.
No, he's not the first lich, is he?
No. Some
sources say he is, but yeah, I remember, yeah.
But as far as I understand, no, he's just the best one. And how he became a god again, I don't know, but he did go through like the stages. Like, he was a demigod, and then he became like a lesser god, and then I don't know where he stands now, but he is now a proper god. How he did that, I think he's just that good. That's my take.
My snake friend helped me.
And so it's, you know, I'm not too familiar with like what he's did in 4th edition or 5th edition, where he stands like at the moment, but because of all of that, of just like being an iconic villain, going multiple times, like from what I understand, all these campaigns are just like fondly remembered. People love them from that time, you know. Mm. And then he just became like a fundamental part of just D&D.
Yeah,
like he got elevated from the villain of the week to just like one of the villains. Like,
I mean, in terms of like him being like a grounded villain. Him having like a super cool general who betrays him, and then he's returned. So like they establish early on, like the consequence of him returning is like, okay, then World War III is going to happen.
If Vecna's up to something, it's not good for.
Or at the very least, like a major war. At the very like you can assume that's the casualty level of his return. So that's like a great thing to pit the players against, and then obviously he makes it. Because he becomes a god. So every time he comes back, he's becoming more and more powerful.
For all the Warhammer bros out there, our fantasy and AOS dudes.
Yes, sir.
He's the first Nagash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just won.
Yeah, he won. He did it. He did the thing you're supposed to be doing in D&D, is get strong enough to become a deity, and then he just pulled it off.
And so,
but you don't have to be evil. Vecna did it evil, so he's a bad man.
Yeah.
You should be a good boy when you do it, which is a lot harder because it's a very ambitiously evil thing to want to become one of the gods.
Well,
so good luck doing that and still maintaining lawful good.
At least for Vecna, you have to admit he made his mom proud.
He did. Wow, what a good son.
How many evil guys get to see
that? Yeah, fair enough, dude.
Which. That's about.
I didn't even do the typical evil thing where I tried to bring her back and profaned her memory or anything. No, she got to go to evil Valhalla in the snake belly, which I personally was... I was into that until I, you know, was staring down the barrel of dying and realized I don't have to do that and I don't want to.
Dying's for losers. I'm a winner.
So that's about all I got for D&D Vecna. Check out anything about him, really. Like, just look it up. Like, it's really interesting. It's really cool. If you're a dungeon master, I highly recommend throwing him in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Or using a cult of Vecna or some shit like that. Or
leave the eye or the hand somewhere.
Yeah, it's great.
See if your players will chop off their arm.
Oh, I said I had a thing for that. You brought up the foot of Vecna. A notorious joke item was that made the rounds was the head of Vecna.
Yeah, I love this.
which was basically just a joke. Apparently some DMs used to trick some of their players to killing themselves. To cut off their head to put on the head, and it didn't work.
Yeah, it kills you.
Yeah.
So that's like a fun little, you know, like history from forums back in the day and all, you know, all that shit. But to tie it into this this pop culture phenomenon of Stranger Things, they do this thing in that show where the little boys are into D&D.
Yeah.
It's cute.
And now they're air quotes teenagers. They're fucking grown men.
They're visibly women
now, but
yeah.
they love D&D in the show, and so they have this habit of naming the weird creatures that are coming after them after D&D monsters.
Yeah.
So, you know, the first season it's the Demogorgon.
Because that was the final boss of the campaign they were doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the second season, it's spoilers, by the way. Sorry if anyone cares. The second season is the Mind Flayer, who was controlling the Demogorgon all along. He's controlling all these other things.
Yeah.
Ah. And then it turns, and it's still the Mind Flayer until season four, where it's just like, actually, no.
There's another guy who's been pulling the strings.
Yeah.
And we don't know his name, but we call him Vecna.
So yeah, he's like a creepy looking, sort of skeleton looking man. He's like a really wet looking skeleton.
Yeah,
very wet man.
There's a lot of wet guys over on the Upside Down.
They don't really do the eye thing, but they snuck in the hand.
Yeah.
Like his left hand is extra like ghoulish.
All claw-y. Yeah,
it's like super long, and he does all his weird, creepy psychic shit usually with that hand.
At this point right now, only part one of the new season has come out. He doesn't know yet that they call him Vecna.
No.
But he has come back with like a sick new like mutated body. And he's committed to like, yeah, I'm going to do the claw hand.
Yeah.
So, he starts killing dudes with it. He's, yeah.
Yeah, he starts doing like anime attacks.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. But in season four at first, when you're just like learning about him, he's like a weird, gross skeleton guy who like looks really like skinny and frail.
Yeah.
And then what Kevin just said when he shows up in this one, he's just like, good thing I got shredded.
Yeah.
He's like jacked now. Like, yeah. He's got like it's
Scooty really, Puff Senior.
The
it,
end.
He, it looks like he really just like wrapped more like tentacle shit around him, but it just makes him look swole.
So let me tell you awesome. What one of the things I've been thinking about this whole time, now that you've told me about like the cast thing, a lot of people have done theories about like Vecna based off of like their knowledge of D&D and like how it can parallel for the season. So part of the backstory of Henry is his actual, that's his Christian name. And he became like a psychic kid, and he was like the first psychic in like this setting pretty much. And then his blood is like part of the experiments to like make other kids psychic, and that's why Eleven has the powers. And then we see from a flashback of hers, like, she becomes like friends with him before she knows like that he's evil and stuff. And like he like primes her a little bit. And I think they actually are kind of doing a parallel between like Cass, because he gives her the secrets of like, if you really want to like use telekinesis really good, you got to think like this. And then when like put like the final evil battle occurs, she's powerful enough, but also she's so blown away by the evil that he's doing. She's like, I have to fight him. And then she's the one who sends him to the other dimension. And in a way, they're both destroyed. He's destroyed being pushed into the other dimension. And she, because she like overdoes her powers, she's like fries her brain a little bit. And that's why by the time like season one started, because this technically takes place before season one, she like wasn't talking or anything. That's like their explanation for that. She fried herself a little bit, pushing him into another dimension with her mind. Which would then mean that Vecna lives, is what occurs when he first comes back. And then they kill him. They at the end of season four, they hit him with a Molotov cocktail and they shoot his ass with a shotgun out a window. And he just like blasts out of there like Jason Voorhees.
Well, but then he does the, you know, the Michael Myers. And
yeah.
He's like, oh, he's gone.
And then he's gone. Was he truly destroyed? No one could survive that. At the end of the day, he is still human, they think. And then by the time he comes back, he's visibly not human. He's got like the tentacle things from the Upside Down, all the vines is grown around him. So now he's all shredded and he's got like thorns on him.
Yeah, he's like I think it's like a crown almost.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, Kevin basically just gave it a quick rundown of like.
I'm sorry, I got excited.
No, you're good. But like, yeah, I wanted to tie it back in just to mention that, like, you know, the show has really brought attention to D&D, which is good, I think. And then like how they draw these comparisons, but then it's just, and then besides really the hand thing and him being like sinister and, you know, skeletal sort of, and real spooky and evil, like not really that much similar between them. I didn't think of your comparison just now. That makes a lot of sense. Maybe they did, you know, use that as like a themes for their
yeah, as like a parallel version.
Yeah,
he does seem to keep being killed and coming back in different ways.
Yeah, but other than that, like D&D Vecna and this guy,
quite
not
different.
Really the same.
Yeah.
This version, Henry Creel, yeah. Or one, because you know he's the first.
He also got a very unnecessary tattoo. He got the tattoo done on his wrist of 001, and that was before there was like even the concept of a two. He was like, no, no, no.
He committed to the bit.
Yeah, like the evil scientist guy was like, oh no, there's gonna be a lot.
So yeah, his whole thing was just like he was just a little serial killer boy, you know, clearly evil. And then he did not make his mama proud. He killed his family.
Bad Vecna.
Yeah.
Dumb Vecna. Yeah.
Which, you know, the society was like, you can't be doing that. He does it super fucked up too. It's like they just make him like super, like, really, really fucking evil for like no reason. And then he got taken by the same doctor guy that took L11.
Mm.
And this guy was basically trying to... He was doing the reverse of what those... he was doing the same as those wizards were trying to do.
Yeah.
He was trying to get the evil out of him.
Oh, man.
Get the evil out of him, but also juice him a little bit. See if he can't make other psychic
kids. So, yeah, they gave him, like, a little, like, inhibitor thingy. And then, like, that whole cast comparison works out really well. And then he tricks 11 basically into
pulling it out,
and then he just like, everyone's dead now. All right, he just kills everybody.
Oh, brutal.
And then she shows up and is just like, you said we were just gonna leave, and he's just like, I lied.
I lie all the time. I've been lying.
Why are you freaking out about this? Everyone's just dead. And then the whole, they have like the psychic, you know, Cartman battle. It's actually pretty good. And then yeah, she blasts him into the upside down, where then he uses his psychic powers to like take over the.
So
things there, I'm not too clear on that.
So I've done a little bit of research and I have a little bit of theory I want to drop on you guys. So when there was a stage play thing that also occurred that like is canon to Stranger Things, and essentially Dr. Brenner, the evil scientist man, his dad was a part of Project or the USS Eldritch, I think it was. The ship in real life that everyone uses as, like, that's the first teleportation
thing. Oh, the Philadelphia Experiment.
The Philadelphia Experiment, yes. He was on there, and then, like, when they came back, like, everyone else, I think, was dead, except for Brenner's dad. And then, like, he started doing science with that, and then I think young boy Vecna, when he's still little boy Henry, not an evil wizard man yet, like, he found some science business out in the desert, and he got sent to Dimension X, which is where, like, the Mind Flayer was all, like, dusty and shit, and there was Demogorgons everywhere. And then that infected him, and when he returned from that, he had a new blood type. And then, like, taking the blood from him, putting it in the other kids is how, like, they spread around the psychic powers. But I think, genuinely, that he got pushed into Dimension X again. From here, he's still, like, sort of under the influence of the, what becomes the Mind Flayer. But now he, like, aligns himself perfectly with it. And he's like, I'm into it. I'm doing this now. And then it's controlling him, but he's still evil as shit.
Hmm.
I think it is going to be the final bad.
It could be. I was a little disappointed when they suddenly, it felt like they kind of suddenly threw him in there. But it's you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's Stranger Things. But, yeah, I just wanted to tie it in real quick because it's relevant, I feel like, and this should be coming out right around when that part two,
yeah,
not the finale, but part two comes out.
I'm looking forward to it. It's a pretty good show.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be good. And then the next episode, I have the Vecna of Star Wars, basically, to talk about.
And with that, we're gonna end tonight's episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed tonight's content, go ahead and give us a like and subscribe on YouTube. You can go and give me a follow on Blue Sky. You can support us on our Patreon. I'd like to give a special thanks to our aspiring maggots, Uncle Maddie, and a super thanks to our fellow squires, Midnight Grimoire, Gary Gaplino, the Greater Good Boy, and my mom. And with that, have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.